NBC News World Headquarters in New York. This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. Authorities outside New Orleans tonight are defending their decision to release from custody the man who shot to death a former NFL player in an apparent case of road rage. The death of ex-NFL running back Joe McKnight, who was unarmed, is generating a fair amount of outrage over early accounts of just how the confrontation played out and over the release of the shooter without charges. Tonight, as questions mount, investigators are cautioning against a rush to judgment. NBC's Jacob Rascone is on the story for us.
But you can't keep somebody in jail that took somebody's life.
Tonight, a frustrated community demanding answers.
What do we want?
We want justice. Justice.
What do we want?
Horrified justice. That Ronald Gasser would be let go without charges after he admitted to gunning down former NFL running back Joe McKnight during a road rage incident. The sheriff says there's more to the story.
Mr. Gasser did not stand over Mr. McKnight and fire shots into him.
Despite earlier rumors, police say McKnight got out of his SUV after a heated exchange with Gasser from their respective vehicles. McKnight walked up to the passenger side of Gasser's sedan when Gasser fired his semi-automatic handgun from inside his car.
The three casings were located within the vehicle.
Then the futile effort to revive McKnight as Gasser waited for police, handing over his weapon, later giving a statement before being let go pending further investigation.
The easiest thing for me would have been book him, Dano. But the fact of the matter is that in trying to flesh out these details, we chose not to do that.
McKnight was born and raised here, leading his high school football team to several championships, a star on the USC team, picked up by the New York Jets and later Kansas City Chiefs.
Good dude. He always had a joke, make you smile, just a really good guy.
A source close to the Gasser family told NBC News, "We pray all will be patient and wait for the facts to come out." It was only 8 months ago that another NFL player was killed during a road rage incident in New Orleans. Tonight, many in this state mourning another hometown hero.
The sheriff insists that his handling of the case has nothing to do with race, adding that the man who raised McKnight was a sheriff's deputy here once. Tonight, the department is also tracking down more witnesses and will work with the DA's office to determine what, if any, charges are appropriate. Lester?
All right, Jacob Rascone tonight. Thank you. Now to the high drama playing out all day inside a courtroom in Charleston, South Carolina, where a police officer is on trial in the death of Walter Scott. Officer Michael Slager caught on cell phone video shooting a fleeing Scott in the back. The shocking images producing angry protests at the time. Today, the jury came in and out of the courtroom multiple times, telling the judge they were deadlocked. We get late details from NBC's Gabe Gutierrez.
Tonight, jurors in the murder trial, former North Charleston police officer Michael Slager, say they are hopelessly deadlocked. A lone juror sending this note to the judge late today.
I still cannot, without a reasonable doubt, convict the defendant. At the same time, my heart does not want to have to tell the Scott family that the man that killed their son, brother, and father is innocent.
Despite the impasse, the jurors are telling the court they want to keep deliberating. Slager charged in the death of Walter Scott, who was shot in the back as he ran from a traffic stop last year.
223 dispatch, shots fired. Subject is down. He grabbed my taser.
In emotional testimony, Slager had told the jury of 11 whites and one black man about the moments not recorded on video. After he pulled Scott over for a broken taillight, Scott suddenly bolted from his car. And after a foot chase, Slager said Scott grabbed his stun gun during a struggle. As Scott broke away, Slager said he was in total fear for his life.
I fired until the threat was stopped, like I'm trying to do.
Jurors have deliberated for 3 days, weighing whether Slager was not guilty altogether or guilty of murder or the lesser charge, manslaughter.
One of the keys of this case is what's not on the camera. And there have been weeks and weeks of testimony about what is not on that camera.
Within the last few minutes, the jury just came back and asked the judge to return on Monday morning and keep deliberating. No matter the outcome of this case, Michael Slager still faces federal civil rights charges. If convicted, He could spend life in prison. Lester.
Gabe Gutierrez in Charleston. Thank you. There's late word about President-elect Trump's phone conversations with foreign leaders. Some that are raising eyebrows in Washington and around the world, including one that has the potential to infuriate China. NBC's Peter Alexander has more on this developing story.
Exactly 7 weeks before his inauguration, President-elect Donald Trump's now raising red flags for a series of phone calls with world leaders, whose relationship to the U.S. remains complicated at best. Today, speaking with the Taiwanese president, the first contact between a president-elect or president and Taiwan since 1979, likely to infuriate the Chinese, who view Taiwan as a renegade province. It follows controversial calls with the heads of Pakistan, Kazakhstan, and the Philippines, whose president recently slandered President Obama's mother.
The wrong message could be received, so he should be fully briefed by the State Department before those communications.
Here at home, Trump's team is now planning a series of events similar to this rally last night in key states that propelled him to victory.
Our victory was so great. We have the House, we have the Senate, and we have the presidency.
The strategy to harness Trump's base of support, sending Washington a message that he'll remain an untraditional politician. What's clear, lingering bitterness will follow Trump into office.
We did have a lot of fun fighting Hillary, didn't we?
That instigating the crowd to chant, "Lock her up." Emotions remain raw, this shouting match between top Clinton aide Jennifer Palmieri and Trump campaign manager Kellyanne Conway during a post-election forum last night.
I would rather lose than win the way you guys did.
No, you wouldn't.
As for President-elect Trump's call with a Taiwanese president tonight, a senior administration official tells me the White House was not told about that call until after it happened. Also late this evening, President George W. Bush's former press secretary is warning, quote, China will go nuts. Lester?
Peter Alexander in Washington, thank you. We have more now on that surprise announcement from the president-elect at his rally last night. James Mattis is his pick for defense secretary, a tough-talking former Marine general. And now a battle is brewing over waiving a law that is currently written bars him from running the Pentagon. NBC's Hans Nichols explains.
For President-elect Trump, a sneak announcement.
We are going to appoint Mad Dog Mattis as our Secretary of Defense.
41 years as a Marine, retired General James Mattis served tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, earning 4 stars and a reputation for blunt talk, winning the adoration of his Marines with battlefield bravado and lines like, be polite, be professional, but have a plan to kill everybody you meet. Like the new National Security Advisor, Michael Flynn, Mattis, another general forced out by the Obama administration, in his case, for his hawkish views on Iran. But he is opposed to shredding the Iran nuclear deal, at odds with Trump.
There's no going back. Absent a real violation.
Never married, he is also known as the warrior monk, with books in his bag and weapons on his wall.
Number one, he is the ultimate combat warfighter. A war-fighting Marine. Second is, he's also an intellectual. He is deeply read.
But his candid talk sometimes catching him in political crossfire.
Hey, you going to Afghanistan, you got guys that spent women around for 5 years because they didn't wear a veil. You know, guys like that ain't got no manhood left anyway, so it's a hell of a lot of fun to shoot him.
His confirmation by the Senate? Complicated. The law requires a 7-year wait from serving in the military before running it. Already, there's opposition to a waiver.
Well, while I deeply respect the extraordinary service of General Mattis, I do not believe we should be changing the law for President-elect Trump.
Changing it for Mattis will require 60 votes in the Senate, a tactical disadvantage for a decorated general. Hans Nichols, NBC News, Washington.
We learned today that the unemployment rate is now at its lowest level in over 9 years. The government says U.S. employers added 178,000 jobs in November, marking a record 81 straight months of job growth. The unemployment rate fell to 4.6%. It's not all good news, however, as the drop was partially due to more people dropping out of the workforce, meaning they're no longer counted as unemployed. The death toll has now risen to 13 in those massive wildfires in Tennessee. Thousands were under mandatory evacuation orders. And today we were with residents as they made their emotional return to their homes to discover whether anything was left. We get more from NBC's Blake McCoy.
The panic of escape now gives way to the agony of return.
I'm just trying to take it all in.
Carolyn Stecker hasn't seen home since Monday, unsure if it's still there. With her mobility limited by a wheelchair, she awaits word from a friend.
Darling, you're fine.
Flames charred her house but left it standing.
Thank you, Lord. I have a home to come back to. So I'm luckier than a lot.
The toll of the Gatlinburg, Tennessee fire, devastating. 13 people now confirmed dead, including John and Janet Summers, both 61 from Memphis. They were on vacation with their three sons, who are recovering in a burn unit, and 75-year-old Mae Vance, who died of a heart attack. The fire, now contained, has burned 27 square miles, more than 1,000 structures damaged or destroyed. Flames skirted the edges of, but ultimately spared, Dollywood Theme Park. It reopened today with namesake Dolly Parton vowing to help those who lost everything.
$1,000 a month to all those families that have lost their homes in the fires until they get back up on their feet.
People like Darrell and Robert Hollander, whose nighttime escape on foot down a mountainside was illuminated by a terrifying orange glow.
I didn't know of another way to get down from where we were easily, so you just cover up your mouth and we'll run right straight through it.
They made it out. Some of their neighbors did not. Blake McCoy, NBC News.
In North Dakota, protests over a controversial oil pipeline have reached a critical moment. Demonstrators are up against a Monday deadline to clear out, and if they stay, they face a new challenge. Temperatures plunging as wintry cold moves in. NBC's Tammy Leitner is at the protesters' camp north of Cannonball, North Dakota.
As the brutal North Dakota winter closes in, protesters are gearing up for a long fight, despite a federal deadline to vacate camp by Monday.
We're here for the long haul, as long as we can make it.
We have a wood-burning stove. We came prepared.
For months, thousands of protesters, who call themselves water protectors, have descended on rural North Dakota to protest against the Dakota Access Pipeline. The intense standoffs resulting in hundreds of arrests. Last month, water, tear gas, and rubber bullets were used to disperse protesters.
Law enforcement is not the aggressors here. We are only reacting to what protesters are doing against law enforcement.
It's a fight over a pipeline that crosses four states, including an area of land along the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation. Once complete, it would carry roughly 470,000 barrels of oil per day. Proponents say the $3.8 billion pipeline will provide jobs and help the local economy. But the land is considered sacred by the Standing Rock Sioux, and the pipeline would cross under their only water source.
It poses a threat to our culture, our way of life, our land, our environment.
Back at camp, protesters face another challenge. The bitter cold will feel like just 10 degrees.
Cold weather be damned.
As a veteran, I'm here to protect the warriors and the women and the people peacefully protesting, because their weapon is prayer. My weapon is training.
2,000 U.S. veterans are expected to descend on this camp this weekend. We're told they will link arms and form a human chain at the front line of the protest. Lester?
Tammy Leitner in North Dakota, thanks. Still ahead, the terrible tragedy impacting the family of a college football coach, his 3-year-old daughter killed by a hidden danger in millions of American homes. We're back now to tell you about a hidden home danger. Tragic news in Utah, where a 3-year-old girl has been killed in an accident that experts say is far too common and easily preventable. It is a tragedy that happens more often than you may think, and one posing a serious danger in homes with children all across the country. NBC's Miguel Almaguer explains.
3-year-old Elsie Mahi, who her family called Sweet Girl, fought for her life for a week before doctors said there was nothing else they could do. Her father, Reno Mahi, a former NFL running back, confirming Elsie was found tangled in a mini blind at home with cords wrapped around her neck. The accident tragic, but not uncommon.
He was special.
Cyrus O'Brien lost his 5-year-old son, Gavin, when he was found hanging from the cords of a Roman blind.
I kept on yelling his name because I wanted him to hear me so he could come back.
According to the Consumer Product Safety Commission, nearly one child a month is strangled to death by cords hanging from blinds, one of the top five hidden dangers inside the home.
If this story reaches one family that didn't know about this hazard, and if it saves one life, then it's worth it.
A known hazard for decades, the Safety Commission began the process to create new standards 2 years ago. Facing pressure, the industry group now proposing all stock products be required to be cordless or have inaccessible or short cords. Several major retailers have already stopped selling corded blinds.
Safety groups recommend parents use cordless blinds. For those that don't have that option, manufacturers will give you a retrofit kit like this, which can be installed in a matter of minutes.
For the Mahi family and the O'Briens, proposed changes in how blinds are made comes too late. But for many others, there is still time. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
We'll take a break. Be back in a moment with a story of snow in paradise. Incredible images of wintry weather striking an unlikely place. In California today, a moment of silence held to mark the one-year anniversary of the terror attack in San Bernardino. During a memorial at the Social Services Center where the attack occurred, a bell rang out for each of the 14 people killed. 22 people were also injured in the attack, carried out by a county health inspector and his wife, who had pledged allegiance to ISIS and were later killed in a shootout with police. Bad news if you're planning a trip to see the sights in Washington, D.C. The National Park Service said today the Washington Monument will remain closed until at least 2019. The landmark has been plagued with problems since an earthquake hit the nation's capital in 2011. It will remain closed so workers can make repairs and renovate the elevator. And believe it or not, the National Weather Service has issued a winter storm warning in Hawaii. Up to 30 inches of snow is in the forecast, high up in the mountains through Saturday. Don't worry if you're planning a vacation, though. We're talking about 11,000 feet up. Things are still looking pretty beachy down below. That's going to do it for us on a Friday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.